Well, it's been good to serve the Lord this morning so far. Don't be looking to me, be looking to the Lord. Don't look to me, look to the Lord. I've told you what I want to do is to read Luke 2 and Matthew 1. I'm not sure how far I'll even get, but frankly. But I just want to try to turn it over to the Lord and hope He'll feed your soul today and glorify His name. I thought of Scripture even before, right before I got in the pulpit just a little while ago. But old Job had a great desire. He didn't have the light we've got. We got a lot more light than Job had, but he had a great desire. He knew he was filthy, and he knew he needed to be cleaned up. He knew he needed fellowship with God. So I'll read you a little bit from the book of Job. This is pertinent to what we're talking about today, about the birth of Jesus Christ. Very pertinent. This is Job chapter 9. I'll begin with verse 30. This is extremely pertinent. If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch. Mine own clothes shall abhor me. He knew he didn't work salvation. It was impossible. I know how hard he tried. He still was going to be filthy. But he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. He wanted to come together with God. But this is what he didn't realize, like we know today. Neither is there any dazed man between us that may lay his hand upon us both. Joe wanted a dazed man. You have to excuse me when I get emotional. I don't really mean to get emotional. It just happens. I heard last night one of my grandkids said, "Is Papa emotional?" Not on purpose, but I get moved. But isn't that something? Lord, I want a dazed man. I want to go between. I want a mediator. And that's what that word dazed man means, the Hebrew mediator. I want somebody to mediate between me and you. I want somebody to lay his hand on you and on me. That's what happened 2,000 years ago. That mediator was born. Paul said there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's our mediator. We do have one now who lays his hand both on us and on God and makes that connection. Isn't that great? It had to be. That virgin birth had to be. The incarnation had to happen, or that day man never could have been. Isn't that great? Let's start reading now. Y'all be praying. I told you, don't look to me, look to the Lord. What I've really done is done a lot of meditating this week, had a really good time with the Lord, and got a few ideas and some scriptures I'd like to read to you. But I kind of want to let the Bible preach to itself. I hope you kids will be listening too. This is a real historical event. We're not reading some fairy story. We're reading something that really did happen 2,000 years ago. Isn't that amazing? Really did this is history. It's like reading a history book. It is a history book. The Gospels are a history book. The book of Acts are a history book. So, and you know, it's amazing in our country. I'm sad about our country. I was a young fellow, went to White Station for 3 years. Because we lived, believe it or not, Graham Street was in the county. Graham was the dividing line. The other side was the city. We were in the county, so I had to ride a school bus 3 years at White Station. And I used to just love, out in the foyer of White Station, about this time of the year, they had a great big gigantic family Bible out there. Open to Luke chapter 2. Can you believe that? No wonder our country gone down the drain. We take stuff like that out of schools. I used to just love to go over and look at that thing and read Luke chapter 2, part of it. But there's a lot of truth here today, comforting truth. So I want to do that. And I wrote down some things here. I'm going to give you some words I wrote down because I'm going to go slow at first. I'll probably speed up later about I can't spend all that kind of time that every verse would ever get through. But here is what I've got to illustrate the first few verses. Perfect timing, fulfilled prophecy, and God's sovereignty. Perfect timing, fulfilled prophecy, and God's sovereignty. This is an amazing story. It ought to encourage us. Let me tell you how it encourages us. You know, we sing the song, "He's just the same today. He's just the same today." The guy who lived all the time, just the same today. God was controlling history back then. Guess who's controlling history today? He is. He's today controlling history just like he was then. Caesar Augustus, how about that Augustus? Ooh, pretty big. Augustus, August. Caesar Augustus, big wheel, most powerful man in the world, thought he was independent. He was not independent at all. God had him on a yo-yo. But he had a big idea, but God used that big idea to get Jesus Christ down to Bethlehem in time to be born at the right time in history. And he used old Cedar to do that. Let's look at this, Livia. Then we'll read a few scriptures to go along with it. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. He was at Rome, right? That all the world should be taxed. And by the way, he wanted to do this 27 years before, I found out, but he just, something happened, he couldn't do it. Because God wasn't ready for him to do it yet. How about that? 27 years before, Caesar wanted to do this. Couldn't do it, something happened. Because his time wasn't right yet, see? It came to pass in those days, there went a decree from Caesar Augustus, all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was the governor of Syria. And all went to his own, to be taxed, every man to his own city. And it's no accident that Jotham was of the house he was of. He was the city, he had to go to David. Everybody had to go to the place where their ancestry was. And Joseph also went up from Galilee. This is Palestine. And there's no cell phones, and there's no electronic communication. And we know a baby's in the womb for 9 months, right? And this is an amazing series of events that Jesus Christ, that decree, had to go from Rome, get down to Palestine, get to different people, and then they had to get married down to Bethlehem, where she's supposed to be, where Christ was going to be born, at the right time. Figure all that out. I never did take statistics, but even you statistics, yeah, I can't figure that now. That's a pretty big, there's no chance there. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, and that was, I won't talk about that, but you all looked that up. That was a hard journey for Mary and Joseph. This woman was fixing to have a baby, and I guess he probably had a donkey to ride on, and it's 100 miles of pretty tough country. There are 2 or 3 different routes that they think she might have gone by. All were tough routes to get down there. You mamas who had babies, you think about that a little bit. And we husbands who stood beside me, I'll think of that a little bit. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he's the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. And espoused meant they were, it's more than an engagement. An espoused was just as a marriage, but you hadn't come together yet. That's what it amounted to. Had to have a divorce to break up a marriage, an espousal. Already promised each other, already made their vows to each other, just hadn't come together to live together as man and wife yet. And we'll read something in Matthew in a minute and get about that. You know what the story is. Being great with child. My friend, that which was inside Mary was a genuine baby. The Holy Ghost overshadowed her. A real baby grew and developed in the womb, just like our babies have grown and developed in the womb. He is fully man, just like he is fully God. He's a day's man, and it had to be a human being to be the day's man. He also had to be God to be the day's man. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished. And you know what that means? Those babies come right on time. Sometimes we don't like that timing. Sometimes they come a little too fast. We think they're a little too late, but God knows when they're coming. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Well, take those babies, clean them up, and wrap them up. And laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Isn't that a beautiful story? But what a humble beginning. What a humble beginning. He had a humble beginning and had also a humble end. In the beginning, he's born in a manger. In the end, he's buried in a barred tomb. And don't tell me he can't identify with you. I don't care how poor you may be, what you've gone through, he can identify with you. Born in poverty and left this world in poverty, even though he made the whole world. How about that? No wonder he says over there in 2 Corinthians 8:9, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he were rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. Alright? Now let me look at a few scriptures before I go further. First of all, he had to be born in Bethlehem. Had to be born in Bethlehem. Let me read you that scripture. It's amazing. Somebody even alluded, I think, in one of the prayers, to the incredible number of fulfilled prophecies that took place in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing array of prophecies. Had to be born, and Matthew will make this even plainer. I don't know whether we'll get there or not. But over in Micah 1:2, he had to be born in Bethlehem. And those people understood that. Some of the wise men understood that, those wise men of Israel. Let's read Micah 1:2. Hear, all ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you, and the Lord from his... Well, I got the wrong one. I've got 1:2 there, instead of 5:2. Somebody read 5:2. I didn't read 5:2 for me.
But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands and few,
yep,
yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
All right, thank you. He had to be born in Bethlehem. And they knew enough, the wise men, those wise Jewish scholars knew that had to be happening. Now I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about God's sovereignty, okay? Christ was born on time. Let's get one scripture, Galatians 4:4. And my friend, he's still on time today. And your time is in his hand today. Your time is in his hand. It says Psalm 31, my times are in your hand. That doesn't only mean the duration of our life. We'll live as long as he wants us to live and no longer. But we will live as long as he wants us to live, though. But also our times, different times of our life, are in his hands. The seasons of our life, our ups and our downs, are all in his hands. That ought to give you courage today. Galatians 4:4-5. And when the fullness of the time has come, God sent forth his Son. He sent his only Son of God. He sent forth his Son, made him a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, he might receive the adoption of sons. He came on time. And guess what? He's going to come on time again. We all already pray, Lord, how long? Lord, even come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's the last prayer of the Bible. Even so, Lord, come quickly. That's the last prayer of the Bible. We all long for that. And if the world's getting worse, I am longing for it. I think one reason why a lot of God lets his people have trouble in old age is give them a homesick feeling. God wants them to be homesick for him. We'll be useful a lot on earth. We won't make us useless, but we still have a great longing to be with him. And I'll tell you one thing, too. One reason you have trouble is God is not going to allow you, and young people listen, to fall in love with this world like other people are not born again. God's a jealous God. So it's good to have ambition. You ought to have ambition. But don't fall in love with this world because God's got a way of dripping a rug out from under you. He's a jealous God. He wants you to long to be with him. He doesn't allow our idolatry forever in our lives. He may allow it a little bit for a while. He'll burn it out of us. I'm glad he will. Alright. Now, I thought this was great this morning. I didn't realize this was going to coincide. But when we read Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, let's look at that a minute. It's the same today. We got a lot of things going on in our country, haven't we? We got impeachment hearings. We got big wheels. We got men making decisions. We got the United Nations. We got people making a lot of decisions. We got a lot of big wheels that think they're big wheels. But look what it said in Proverbs 21:1, and apply this to Augustus Caesar. Augustus Caesar, the mighty ruler. One of the mightiest rulers the world has ever seen. But look what about old Augustus Caesar in Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the river of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. He sure did turn Augustus' heart, didn't he? He wanted to do it 27 years before. God would not allow him to do it, but at the right time, he allowed him to send that decree out. And my friend, the president and all the dictators of this world, their heart is in God's hand. He turned them whithersoever he will. God is the ruler. Don't forget, don't deny that. Grab a hold of that. Let that comfort you as we look at current events. And let me tell you this too. God's got your life planned out. We're not robots. But your life may not turn out like you got it planned. We ought to plan. Daddies and moms ought to plan for their kids. Kids ought to plan their careers. We got hard-working kids in our church going to college, planning careers. I'm glad you're doing that. But what we got to realize is our life may not turn out like we think it will. You know that? Let me show you why. God's directing our life. We need to seek his direction. We don't know how long we'll live, what kind of health we'll be in, what our financial position may be, what our job situation may be. That's in God's hands. But let me ask you this. Are you willing to trust God? I'll tell you what's wrong with us sometimes. I don't really trust God sometimes. Lord, I'm afraid if I just yield myself to you, you might make a mistake. Now, I'm not kind of dumb enough to say it just like that. God knows my heart. Are you willing to trust God and submit to Him and not worry too much about things? I got some people in the church that are close to me may lose their jobs. And that bothers me. But I'm asking God, Lord, don't let that bother me so much. I want to be concerned, but not to the point where I've been out of shape, because God, you're in control. Even though they're bosses and the CEOs, you're controlling all of them. Let's read a few scriptures to help us. Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself, is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Now we ought to do the best we can to direct our steps in the right way, but ultimately it's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. That's a plain scripture. It's a plain scripture. We need to trust God. Proverbs 16:9 says something very similar to that. Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart divideth his way, and I'll divide our way, if they're divided the right way. A man's heart divideth his way, the Lord directeth his steps. You know, in one way, it's kind of fun to get old. It's not, sometimes not so fun, to be frank with you. But sometimes it's kind of fun, you can look back and see how God led you. Hallelujah. Right? Even Leanne, she's not old yet, but she's got her head. God's leading us. I can look back and say, the Lord is there, and I knew it not. The Lord is there, and I knew it not. It's kind of fun now, in a way, when I can't sleep, to meditate on my past life, say, God has always been faithful. He's never let me down. I let Him down. He's never let me down, though. He's led me by ways I knew not. He'll do you the same way, precious friends. It's not in men that walketh to direct your steps. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do the best you could. Now, so here's how we got to do. Do you have plans? I know you got plans. You ought to have plans. But let's look at how we ought to do our plans. Over in James chapter 4, let's read a few verses. James chapter 4, verse 13 through 15. Now, go to now, you say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Nothing wrong with that. I'm a businessman. There's a good opportunity down here in this other country. I'm going to go down there and make me some money. Nothing wrong with that, per se. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye not know what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? Is even a vapor. A vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. But you ought to say, if the Lord will, if the Lord will, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So my friends, have an open hand. Trust God for your future. I like to talk to people about their careers. I've talked about a lot of men who maybe trained for one field and went up another field. Maybe they're right to train for a certain field, but God may have something different. So while we do make plans, let's have an open mind. God, you every day, you kids, when you're praying for careers, ask God to direct you. Where should you live? Where should you go to church? What you ought to be doing? I trust God for everything. Sometimes we make decisions, don't even take God into consideration. I don't know a lot of people do that. I've been a pastor a long time. It grieves me sometimes to see people who don't seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But that's what we ought to be doing. And it's okay to make plans, say, Lord, if you will, I'll never do this or that. You know, I told you the story. I forgot what king of England it was. It might have been George VI. I forgot now. But I know Arthur Pink, who lived in a Christian home. And he said that one day on the radio, that BBC radio, it came on a certain day, King so-and-so, probably George, going to be inaugurated. He then said, oh no, he didn't say DV. See, DV, Del Valente, the Lord willing. They didn't say it. And so guess what? The king got appendicitis and he was not inaugurated on that day. They should have said DV. And that's what you ought to be saying. DV, the Lord willing, I'll do this or that. That's not just some kind of expression, it's a real expression. We ought to take cognizance of. All right, now, let's go ahead and read some more in Luke. You know, I'm hitting the highlights. I just regret we don't have 3 or 4 hours, but we don't. I really am. Oh, this is so sweet. This is so sweet. It's just like a peach, a Georgia peach. That's how good this is. Let's read this. And there were in the same country shepherds about in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Hallelujah! Let me tell you about that field right there. I've been doing a little research. It's really sweet to study the scriptures. My friend David, probably that same field where he kept his sheep. You know that? Many years. Look at 1 Samuel 17:15. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Guess what other about Bethlehem? That's where Ruth lives. And nobody knows for sure, but the scholars say they really believe that field where she gleaned was adjacent to the shepherd's field. Isn't that sweet to think about stuff like that? My friend, there's a lot of good stuff happening out of Bethlehem. A lot of good stuff. And I'm sure there's a lot of typology in that I can't figure out. But I know David was a type of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep. But anyway, they're down there. And the sheep were kind of a low-class people as far as they're concerned. But they had to be diligent. Now, let's imagine these old boys out there doing this hard work. And it was hard work. If you don't believe that, read the book of Genesis when Jacob talked about his life as a shepherd. So the drought consumed me in the day, and the cold got me at the right time. As he's talking to Laban about how the hard life that these shepherds had. These poor shepherds out there now, keeping those sheep, being diligent, keeping the wool away from them. And what happened? Look what happened. Imagine you're one of those shepherds out there all of a sudden. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about upon them. And they were so afraid. The glory of the Lord, a big light, showed up right there in the heavens. Man, that must have been something else. We probably can describe that. There they are, shocked. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, now get this, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Let's just dissect that a little bit. I bring you tidings, that's news, but they're good tidings, and those good tidings all bring joy, but it's great joy. I got to analyze that expression. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's really good stuff. The angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, friends, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me read to you from Isaiah 52, verse 7. That all thrill our souls. And I know it does, but it all thrills even more. We get so used to going to church and hearing the gospel preached sometimes, we kind of don't have the emphasis we ought to have on it. It's every day, it's good news that Jesus has died for my sins. Every day. Every moment of the day. It's good news I'm not going to go to hell and not deserve it. It's good news my future is secure. Hallelujah. Isn't it good news? What's the best news? Well, my stock did well this year. Well, I'm glad they did, but you ain't going to take it with you. I'm glad I've got good health. You won't always have good health. You're carnal, you know. You're terminal, all y'all terminal, unless God comes before. I got a new house. I'm glad you got a new house. Enjoy it. But that's not your permanent home. What's the real good news? I'm going to heaven. My sins have been paid. My future's secure. That's the good news. That's the real good news. Look at it said over, here's what preachers ought to be doing. And that's what I want to do. Over in Isaiah 52:7. Here ought to all be. We come to the house of God. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, and bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. That's good news. And I'm preaching it to you today. Our God reigneth. So take heart. All right, let's go ahead and back to Luke now. What's the good news, angel, old buddy? Gabriel, probably. For unto you is born, unto you! Once you grab all that you, you! Is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now this must have been something. This must have been something. This must have been an amazing thing here to these old shepherds. And suddenly there was with the angels this multitude, a bunch, in the heavenly host, praising God and saying, they're praising God. They must have been such exuberant. We probably never heard anything prettier than in our whole life. Glory to God in the highest, on earth, goodwill toward men. Isn't that great? And you know, it amazes me that who those angels came to reveal themselves to was not the Sanhedrin court in Jerusalem. Not the scribes and Pharisees. Not the chief priests. He bypassed them. And my friend, God bypasses those kind of people today. But if you know Jesus Christ, thank God you may be a simple person. We all of us are. But look what Christ said over here in Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things, the wise and prudent, and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. If you know Jesus Christ, and I believe you do, or you would have been singing like you did today, you'll say, hallelujah! God has hid these things for the wise and prudent. We got a whole country for the wise and prudent, haven't we? We got a whole party. This is a pro-abortion party killing babies. We got a whole multitude of people who believe that don't believe that a man and a woman get married, and that's all get married, don't we? We have a whole bunch of people who do crazy things today, my friend, things we could not have imagined. But don't worry about that. God's in control. What you need to do is thank God you're not one of them, not because you're better than they are intrinsically, because God chose you before the world began, and God revealed His Son in you when He called you to be born again. That's why you get your head on straight. And keep it on straight, kids. Don't listen to the propaganda of this world. Listen to what God's holy word had to say. And thank God you know what the truth is. Aren't you glad it's written in here? We got stuff so deep we couldn't go on the road if we wanted to. Isn't that good? You couldn't go on the road if you really wanted to. You betray yourself. You know, one time a guy said, if you're arrested, if they were arresting Christians, there'd be enough evidence to get you arrested. That may be a question we ought to think about, but I really believe that the answer would be yes. If you're really born again. You may try to hide it, but you just can't hide it. If somebody started blaspheming Christ in your presence, you couldn't take it. You had to show some sign. I'm glad that's that way. I praise God that way. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away, I bet they came and they left. From them into heaven, went back to heaven, for they a bunch of them up there right now. And we're gone one of these days. Hallelujah. Gone one of these days. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And so they came with haste, but they hustled on down there. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. They could not keep their mouths shut. Brothers and sisters, we fall in love with Jesus Christ. We can't keep our mouths shut either. I hope God will just get him so full of the Holy Ghost. Not that we're going to be a bunch of Pharisees running around trying to buttonhole everybody, but we love the Lord so much, it just pours out of us and we just can't hide it. That's how I wish it would be with me. And all they that heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. That'd be a good sermon right there, wouldn't it? Can you imagine what Mary's thinking now? This woman who's already seen Gabriel angel tell her she's going to have Jesus anyway. And there's some more things here we'll read in a few minutes. She had a lot to ponder, didn't she? A lot to think about. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen and told them. I bet they had a big time out there talking to each other about that. It didn't seem so cold out there. Didn't seem so tough out there taking care of those sheep when they had these things to cheer them up. The same with me and you, brothers and sisters. The things of this life, they're so routine and boring. It won't be so boring. We have Jesus on the front of our minds. And when the days were accomplished for the circumcision, because he did everything right, under the law, the male had to be circumcised on the eighth day. Jesus Christ was made under the law. When 8 days were accomplished, the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. I love that name, Jesus, don't you? It means Savior, which was so named to the angel before he was received, conceived in the woman. The days of her purification were accomplished. That's quite a few days later. According to the law of Moses, were accomplished. They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, because Jerusalem wasn't very far away from Bethlehem. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. To offer a sacrifice, according to that which it is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves of young pigeons. Let me read you from Leviticus. Why do you think that's in there right there? Why did the Holy Ghost put that in there? About why did he just say made a sacrifice? Let me tell you why. It's a proof that Jesus Christ was born in relative poverty. I'll prove it to you. Why did the Bible say that? Why can't you say they made a sacrifice? They said, no, two turtle doves, two young pigeons. Leviticus chapter 12, verse 8. I won't read the whole context. But talking about this purification, and they had to offer a ram, but they didn't have a ram, guess what? Here's the context, Leviticus 12, 8. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, that's how poor Joseph and Mary were. If she not be able to bring a lamb, then shall she bring a turtle dove or two young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering, the other for a sin offering, and so forth. Isn't that something? God, the Holy Ghost, just puts all kinds of things in the Bible like that. We need to be alert. So this is a proof that he was born in relative poverty. They couldn't even afford a lamb. Now these are sweet things I fix to read to you. These are sweet people here. These are people the world we look at twice. We got a whole world full of people the world we look at twice. But God loves them. Thank God I serve God with people like that. I'd rather have your friendship than the friendship of great and mighty people. I don't want the friendship of great and mighty people. They don't love the Lord. I don't want to be around a bunch of people with big parties and stuff like that and having all show off their money and junk. And be, I don't want to be around people like that. I don't feel better that day. All right, I don't want to be around them. I want to be around people like y'all who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who come and trick and pour your heart out saying praise to His holy name. I got to say something about Richard. I don't know if he's on here or not. I don't mean to embarrass him. But I'm always awed by God working in the hearts of His children. What did you say, Richard, Thursday night? He's in that old chair. Can't hardly get out of that thing. Congestive heart failure. Eye problems. All kinds of problems. We had a good talk. So I'm around. I said, Richard, I pray for you. What do you want me to pray for you about? You thought, well, maybe I'll get better. You know what he said? Lord, and he meant this. He wasn't putting on the front. Just him and me. He said, brother Zach, pray I'll do what God wants me to do. He said, he's got a reason for me to be here. I don't know what it is. But if he didn't have a reason, I wouldn't even be here. He's also praying for me to see my sins. That anything I've done wrong, I'm going to repent of it. I cannot believe that. This is a wonderful man that God blessed, my friend, had a right attitude. It awes me to see God's children sometimes in terrible situations, but they still bless God all the time. That's a miracle of grace. You know that? Anyway, let's read this. There's some good folks here that I'm fixing to get through here. Behold, a man in Jerusalem whose name is Simeon. I wish I was like Simeon. I'm not. I wish I were. And this same man was just and devout, waiting on the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the Messiah to come. My friends, there were thousands of years the Israelites waiting for the Messiah to come. And let me read you a scripture that touches my heart about that. Look at the scripture of this. Put yourself in their shoes if you can. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. And now put your place in their position. These are prophets, but just make like you're an Old Testament saint. Ready? Talk about salvation they're looking for. One of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 through 12. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which is in them did signify. But it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Isn't that sweet? You see those people? Isaiah's writing to Isaiah. You understand more about what Isaiah's writing than Isaiah did. So you ought to be thank God you're a New Testament saint. You know more of my friend because we look at the back of the Bible, the light of the New Testament. I'm not feeling, I'm going to read that again and keep on going for a couple of more clauses. It's sweet to me. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied the grace that should come into you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which is in them did signify and testify beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now get the rest of this. And to whom it was revealed that not just in himself, but to us, that's you, that he administered the things which are reported unto you by them, happening to the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now that's mind blowing. My friend, the very angels, I think the angels come to church myself, because of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. And they want to hear the gospel of Christ preached. And they're amazed at what's going on. And these brothers minister to us today, the Old Testament prophets. It's amazing. Anyway, let's read about old Simeon. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And his name was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. I like that too. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost, don't we? And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, he should see his son, that he should not see death till he see the Lord's Christ. He's an old man, as fixed as I, but the Lord let him know, you'll see Jesus Christ. You'll see the Christ, the Messiah, before I let you go. And my friend, it was no accident that he came to the temple at the exact same time. They brought Christ to the temple to be purified. God even had that in control. It wasn't old Simeon said, I'm getting up this morning going to see the Jesus. He said, no, he went with the temple. But God had guided that thing. Aren't you glad God guided our footsteps? We're not robots, but God, I love the song, he liveth me. What's the next clause in our song book? Oh, blessed thought. It is a blessed thought. Sometimes you think your life is just one big chaos. I feel like a big wheel sometimes. You know why? Big wheels run around in circles. I feel like I'm the biggest wheel there is. I run around in circles. And that's my own fault. But I tell you, God's still leading and guiding me despite myself. And I thank him for it. And he came by the Spirit into the temple when his parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then took he up him in his arm and blessed him. Now Jesus was an infant. We love to get infants, don't we? I'm amazed around here at the church. All these babies, everybody wants to pick them up. Everybody wants to pet on them. My friend Simeon got this one here. He had the Christ in his own arms. And blessed him and said, blessed God, and said, and now, let thy servant depart in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. They had seen his salvation, because salvation is in Jesus Christ, which thou hast prepared before the face of the people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And guess what? And so, well, I'm not through yet. And Simeon blessed him and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the falling rise of many again in Israel. And for a sign against which shall be spoken against. Then there's a parenthesis here, an ominous parenthesis. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, because he knew Jesus was going to suffer. And many hearts may be revealed. And guess what? Somebody else shows up at the same time. What a beautiful thing this must have been. And there's one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was a great age, had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, probably just had 7 years before he died, so she was a widow for a long time. She was a widow of about 84 years, which he parted not. I just love the way she lived. My friend, this is how we all live. We get to be a widower. I just love this so much. I can just see this old lady, how God must have loved her, how he must have blessed her. She was sad being a widow. It's hard being a widow, especially back in those days. It's always hard, though. But she departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. What an unusual individual. What a wonderful individual. And she coming in that instant, the right time, gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spake of him to all of them that look for redemption in Israel. All right. Let's go to Matthew for a minute now. I can't take quite as long. Let's go to Matthew. It's so sweet. We got to get it. We just got to do it. And make a few comments. This is over Matthew 1:18, and we'll read a little bit of that and get into chapter 2 a little bit. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused unto Joseph, I told you that's more than an engagement. Practically married, that hadn't come together yet. Before they came together, she was found a child of the Holy Ghost. My. How that must have shocked Joseph. Think what they went through. Oh, I love Joseph, don't you? There's not much about him in the Bible, but I'll tell you what a good man he was that God chose this position. Here's he loved this woman. He knows she's a woman of integrity. He knows she's a pure woman, but suddenly she wound up with child. What a struggle he must have gone through. What emotion he must have had. He didn't want to hurt her, even though he had hurt himself. He thought she had been unfaithful to him. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. I'm going to give her a bill of divorce. I'm not going to make this thing a lawsuit where everybody knows about it. I'm just going to quietly dismiss her. It broke his heart. He did a lot of thinking. Let's look at what happened when he got to thinking. My friend, sometimes you think too. And sometimes God may talk to you in an unexpected way when you're doing some deep thinking. Look at this. I love these next two verses so much. Two of the first verses I ever memorized. These are great verses. Just think about these. But while he thought on these things, you could preach a whole sermon on that, couldn't you? You can let your imagination run. Why are you telling these things? I love her so much. I'm going to be her husband. I can't believe what's happened. She's been unfaithful to me. I don't want to pull her away. But I got to do it. But I'll do it the least damaging way I can. The Holy Lord appeared to him in a dream. God can use all kinds of means. And he used dreams a lot in the book of Hebrews. I mean, the book of Matthew. God comes in on the radar. You can't fool God. You can't fake God off. You can't figure God out. You can't defeat God. God's got a lot of realms he can move in. One of the realm of dreams. Saying, Joseph, oh, what good news. I bet you he jumped up and just shouted. That's not David. That's not by accident either. He was not Jesus' father, but he's his adopted father in the house of David. And the Messiah had to be born in the house of David. And Mary was in the same house, by the way. Fear not! Take thee, Mary, thy wife. That which you can see with her, the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine the immense relief and joy that flowed through his heart? And she shall... Oh, this is my verse, folks. This is my verse. First verse I ever learned. Still believe it with all my heart. You better believe it, too. Listen to me. And she, there's three showers here. I remember A.C. Hall preaching on it lots of times. I see the Melissa Graham back here. The little Arkansas preacher preaching too. And she shall, he shall bring forth a son. And they say, did she do it? They say, yeah, Brother Holder say. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. Did they do it? Yeah, they did it. What about the third one? For he shall save his people from their sins. My friend, he will do that. All of them. All of the elect family of God, not one left out. No contingency here whatsoever. That's a gospel verse right there. Hallelujah. Then all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, lots of things done in fulfillment of prophecy. Very important. This is over in Isaiah 7:14, by the way. I won't turn there, but it's according to Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name. And I just love this so much. Let's say this. Emmanuel! Hallelujah! Which is God with us! And he was God with us! That's God with us, folks! The God-man with us! Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, boy, he got on the ball. He's a man of action. the angel of the Lord had bidden him and taken him his wife. Italy, come on home, Mary. Things are okay. You come and be my wife. We're spouse. I better leave her too. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son and named him Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the land, in the days of Herod the king, this old rascal, this ungodly old man, like we got a bunch of them in the world today, behold, there came wise men, the Magi, from the eastern country, maybe Persia, who knows, wise men. Now this is probably when he's about 2 years old, when you figure all this out. This is not when he's just right there, an infant. We see sometimes these manger scenes, and a wise man there, and a shepherd, didn't happen just that way. Saying, where is he that's born king of the Jews? God revealed them that. And my friend, he was the king of the Jews. Not just the natural Jews, king of the spiritual Jews. He's the king of the Jews. We see his far in the east and are come to worship him. They want to come worship him. We want to worship him, don't we? We want to worship him, don't we? Let's worship him better, okay? Even in our homes, especially when we come together in the church of Jesus Christ. I love what Psalm 34 said. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast of the Lord. Be humble if you hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. That's what we do at church. Magnify the Lord with me. It's fun, isn't it? I like to do it by myself. I like to do it even better when I got y'all with me. And when I'm married to a woman like Judy, it's fun to worship God together. Well, I looked at the lights and I said, you know, honey, if I didn't have you, I wouldn't even look at these lights. But I like to share it with you. My friend, I like to share the gospel with people. That's why Danger said with me, next to me when the guy's preaching, well, I'll probably beat you to death. I can't keep still. I want to share it with people. And I will, and I'll get to heaven with all the family of God, perfectly. With my master, my best friend, is Jesus Christ. And the family of God, and the Lord was said. He prayed in John 17:24. But Lord, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. They have my glory that thou hast given me. He wants it to be there. He wants you to be there. He loves his glory. He wants to share his glory with you. That's the truth. That's what the Bible says. Look, John 17:24. When Herod, my friend, God always had enemies. He got them enemies today. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled and out of Jerusalem with him. Now he's a schemer. Ungodly schemer, but it's going to all come to naught. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written in the prophets, which I read to you a while ago from Micah 5:2. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least of the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor, which shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately, this sneaky old man, this ungodly old wretch, this old reprobate, this conniver, but he didn't get anywhere with it. And Herod, who he had, when he probably called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. That's why I'm saying we keep reading this. I think it's about 2 years after the Christ was born. He sent to them to Bethlehem and said, now just imagine how ungodly he is and what a liar he is. Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring him, me word again, that I may come and worship him also. That liar, he wanted to kill him, not worship him. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came over where the young child was. And I love this next clause. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceeding great joy. Not just joy, not just great joy, exceeding great joy. How about that? Now let me tell you something. You are able to identify this. God showed them, Brother Jared, in the east by the star. They had to walk on that sighting for a long time without seeing the star. But when they saw it again, they rejoiced. That's how your life is. God will show you things, and then You've got to just be obedient to what God's shown you. And you may not feel His presence. You just got to be obedient anyway. And you'll get discouraged. But I'm trying to do what's right. The things are not going right. It doesn't seem like it. But you got to keep on doing right. And every now and then, when God wants to, He'll appear to you in a special way. Say, hey, you're on the right track. Then you also will rejoice with exceeding great joy. God makes us walk by faith most of the time. Not by sight. But every now and then He says, okay, it's time for them to have a little reassurance. And brother, He knows how to do it too. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, the mother, his mother, fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And I'll say something about that in a minute. That's pretty important. All that can be preached about, but I won't preach about all that. But they gave him these valuable gifts. And being warned of God in a dream, said he working in dreams, Herod can't win for losing. And that they should not return to Herod, they parted their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, how about that, a dream again? Arise, take the young child, his mother, flee into Egypt, and be thou until I bring thee word again. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child, his mother, by night, he didn't hesitate, and departed into Egypt. Now, here's what I'm talking about, those gifts. How in the world is a poor man going to travel? It takes money to travel, right? He's having support, he got to do the total of. What about the gold and frankincense and myrrh? How about that? God said, here's a little traveling money for you, old buddy. And my friend, he'll take care of your needs, too. He might take care of your wants. I testify that a 78-year-old man got to take care of your needs. I'm talking about a man who raised 11 kids, and they're not everyone hungry. I don't think. It's impossible what has happened. And you're saved with y'all, Jared. Listen, statistically, you can't do what you do. The hummingbird can't fly by. You knew that, didn't you? They just fly. One time, I'll tell you what, it's so funny. I went to a funeral one time. I feel about Friday, don't get me wrong. I went to a funeral home and I had a bunch of my old cousins. We got several sides of the track in our family. None of them all know. And they hadn't seen me in years. And that day, I think I had about 8 children. So this old guy said, I told him how many kids I had. Well, he went nuts. He started whispering to people. You can see all the funeral home people looking at me like I'm a freak. Then he said, how do you feed them? I said real loud, one meal at a time, just like you feed yours. And everybody started laughing in the funeral home. My friend, God's going to take care of your needs. I've known young people who said, well, I knew a couple one time, real sad, that they weren't having children. On purpose, because it says, the world gets so ungodly, we can't raise kids in this ungodly world. Don't do that. Trust Almighty God. He's still on the throne. If you need a little gold, a little frankincense, a little myrrh, God will help provide that. Joseph had all kinds of family money. He was to Egypt. Probably got in a hallway. Herod, that might be fulfilled, that spoke by the prophet. Say, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw his mock, oh, he's so wicked. Don't be surprised how wicked the world is. Now, he mocked the wise men with exceeding wrath. He got really mad. And sent forth and slew. Can you imagine what a wretch this was? Kill all these baby boys. Slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had done and inquired of the wise men. He was foolish, he thought, he'd get rid of this rival, he thought, to the throne. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and Rachel, there was a voice, heard, lamentation, and weeping, and great mourning. Rachel, weeping for her children, but would not be comforted until they were not. But Herod was dead. I like that line. It didn't hear the last long. Can you imagine going into eternity? The last thing on your ungodly conscience is you killed a bunch of kids. How do you like that? And face the judge? He might have thought he was tough. He didn't live long after this. And when he was dead, that's where the Bible, when he was dead, all that blood in his hands. But when he was dead, Herod dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child, and his mother and go into the land of Israel. And they're dead, for they're dead which sought the young child's life. Now look at this, because every detail is important. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. And when he heard, Archelaus did reign in Judea, because that's really where he intended to live. In the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, be warned of God in a dream, he turned aside in the part of Galilee, a different province north. But that was a reason for that. He came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled with the spoken of the prophets. He should be called a Nazarene. Folks, our God's in control. Aren't you glad we have a day's man? That blessed day's man has got a hand on both you and God. Here, our mid-year or go-between. Hallelujah. Was born. And of course, we know he grew to manhood and all the rest of that, but I love to even think about his birth, don't y'all?